special holiday. I'm glad that you joined me today. We'll have something that's hot and warm. We'll have something that's hot and warm. We'll drink it up, we'll get real warm. We'll have something that's hot and warm. This is a special holiday. I'm glad you're here with me today. I think I'll have this glass of warm. I think I'll warm this glass and have it. I'm so good, drink this up, this special warming. Thank you, everybody. It's time to light this thing on fire.
Join me now, won't you, as we light the candles and other things to usher in this season of fire. All right, this is out of flint. It's an old-fashioned lighter, and it has no flint, so we will not be able to kindle the flame that ushers in the season of fire. Why is this the season of fire? Because in olden times, when traditions were started, our ancestors experienced cold, and they fought against the cold using the warmth of fire. Not modern fire that we have today, but the old-fashioned fire that had to be constructed at home. They would make bread. They would make their own candles. They would make their own clothes, but to do so, they needed fire first, so they had to first make their own fire before they could burn their clothes. And so they would use flint and stone or wood or something. Some people had such a harsh stare. Did you ever meet anybody like that? You go, "Woo! You're staring a hole through me." Well, they can't literally do that, but they can combust something that's already flammable, like paper that's been soaked with tree sap. And that's what we call fat paper. What's fat paper? Well, it's like fat wood. Have you ever seen fat wood? It's wood that's soaked with sap. You can't burn it for more than a little bit of it, but it's combustible. It'll help you light the fire. I want to be your fat wood. I think I do. I don't know. I'll just be a friend. That's it. But let's light some candles together. Oh, I want to light, not the way for you, but a little nook where you've come to stay. Say, "I'm on my way." All right. "And I don't really need it lit for me, Hardy. I understand that other people are there to light your way. But I want to stay in this little nook." And it's not even a proper room, is it? It's like an Asian capsule hotel. It is. "And I will need some light while I am here." And I say, "Friend, let me be that for you. Let me glow. I can glow on as little as like a AA battery. Two, probably. And I'll glow for a while because I find my energy is efficient. I don't burn it out producing lots of heat, go stomping around. I save my energy like a LED light as opposed to an incandescent light that's also you can heat things with. Think you can't? Easy bake oven. End of argument. Of course you can. I used to melt wax on them. I'd melt crayons on the light bulbs in my room. My parents would appreciate this. They'd say, "See, this is why you don't have parents." I said, "I know that." And then my grandparents would walk away disgusted and with respiratory problems from that, because you shouldn't do that. Don't melt things on your light bulbs. I don't think you can anymore, kids. So I don't even tell you, I don't even have to say don't do it, because it's not possible. Think of all those wonderful things that aren't possible anymore. You don't have them, so you won't be able to do them. Say, "Don't play with the water pick." What is that even? I think maybe some people still have those, but some people used to pick their teeth with water jets, which we use now to get graffiti off of walls and things. "Someone spray painted something awful about me. Get the giant," we call it a pressure cleaner. But in the 70s, there was handheld dental pressure cleaners in case someone defaced your teeth, tagged your teeth. I don't know how that could happen, I suppose. Very tiny little, I'm hesitant to call them vandals, because they can make your teeth look better with their art. Oh, I hope I have done that to you, my friend. Say, I have an itch on my back. Here, I'll give you some scratch feety. I don't think I'm using that word right. I'm having seasonal skin itching, and I think it's from all the flames going everywhere. And think about it. This is the season of candles. of fireplaces. All sorts of people are buying lighters who don't really smoke. And so they go, well, I need the lighter, though, because we're thinking of lighting the fireplace. And after that, some candles. And I don't even know what. There's some potpourri things. That might be just the candle, too. I know we're just going to light oil. Whether it's Hanukkah or Christmas or any other Kwanzaa or any other fire holiday, those are fire holidays. We know that from, it's just like horoscopes. Say, what kind of sign am I? What kind of sun sign am I? Am I a fire sun sign or a water sun sign or earth sun sign? What's the other one? Earth, water, fire. Like a broth. I don't know. I know there's another one. Air, water. I don't know. They're all mixed up together, aren't they? It's so wonderful. It's not a sharp division like that. Unless you're playing 20 questions. Then you have to know whether is it animal, vegetable, or mineral? Do you follow me? Oh, my goodness. And Star Trek said, they took that game 20 questions. And they said, let's blur the line between animal, vegetable, and mineral. Let's change what people think of as life. Life could be made of rocks, right? Or plant, some kind of plant people. There's no reason why it couldn't. I mean, there is, but let's just pretend there isn't for a minute to expand our minds. I think expanding your mind is like bodybuilding in a way. It's like you're working up for a task that you're never going to have to do. That much muscle, what do you do? Are you putting down a railroad track by yourself? No. Then what are you going to use it for? To lift more weights. And I feel like that is the way with intellect. I've overdeveloped it, and there's really nothing to do. I have nothing to do with it. Just making work for myself. Most of us could get by knowing less. I probably. It'd be all right. You know, all the worthless things I know. I know that most of the things I have are worthless. And it's just like the flea market. You go, you know, by going and trying to sell them. So, I think I can get a lot for this. What is it? Oh, it's just a lot of things I learned reading, I don't know, Victorian literature. Oh, that'll be great. Can't wait to see what it'll bring at the flea market. I'll give you a dollar. And that's about it. And then you think, gosh, all these things I thought were valuable, I've been saving them. They're my nest egg. Look again. What's your nest egg? It's not an actual egg. It's plastic. You've been sitting on it for years. I was wondering why it didn't hatch. That's because it isn't real. People do that with fruit baskets. I will go to their house and they'll say, have a piece of fruit. They're tricking me. And it'll be wax fruit. Did that happen, or is that like an I Love Lucy or something? I've never seen actual wax fruit. A lot of times it's plastic. Maybe it used to be wax. Maybe that's another thing that's disappearing. So we used to say all the time, don't eat the wax fruit. Now there is none. And kids don't know what you mean when you say that. I said that to us. I said something recently, like a cliche to a child, and they said, I don't know what that means. Is that an idiomatic expression? And I said, yes. Are you really unfamiliar with it? And they said, absolutely. And I thought, how quickly things can, useless information can disappear and be replaced with new useless information. Trivia contests are so much different than they were when I was a kid because there weren't any. Because people thought that trivial was actually a pejorative. What's a pejorative? It's something you take when you can't poo, I think. But it's also like a bad, has something with a bad connotation. So, you know, people didn't want something to be trivial. They wanted it to be important or something. And then I think maybe somebody made up that game, the trivial board game. And people said, trivia, yes. And then books came out. This was like late 70s, early 80s. The books came out and say, oh, well, this is trivia, the great big book of trivial information. Fun. The People's Almanac. And then trivia became elevated to the same level as other knowledge. So all knowledge became equal. It was wonderful. So the name of somebody who played a supporting character on a television show that only ran for a season, that knowledge became as important as, say, the periodic table. Right? Say, if you know something's valence, but you also know its supporting cast. Equal information. And so I stocked my mind cabinet with Three Stooges brand soup. And it kept for a long time, because it doesn't really go bad. But what was I doing? Look at what my diet was. I should have been buying fresh vegetables or something. Old man, what talk you about? I do not know, son. Don't go outside. There's animals. You're going to have to spend the night here. I'm always going to be sitting here in the lobby of this bed and breakfast that you have come into. It's a hotel, but I will sit here and I will keep you company. I don't sleep or anything. So you come downstairs and we will have a conversation and a hot cup of tea anytime. I'm here for you. I don't mind. I mean, I'm up when you're up. That's the way I look at this relationship. And say, and you say, don't you expect me to? I go, shush, shush. No, you don't have to talk. That's the whole thing. Aren't you tired of talking, saying things about yourself, answering questions? So, what brings you here? Why don't you just, I'll just talk like we're already friends. You don't have to tell me all that nonsense. You probably don't have it figured out. Who am I? What am I all about and everything? I will not make you go through that charade, that act, that little one-act play, that one person play where you get up there and you say, yes, and I'm thinking of doing this and telling me all this stuff that you think you need to say to strangers or friends or anybody. So that you have this consistent identity and you don't have to do it with me. That's the wonderful thing. You don't have to tell me anything. You don't have to tell me that this morning you felt like one person and now you feel like another. That's fine. My goodness. Don't you feel relieved that you don't have to do that? Be on the witness stand all the time? I love when people ask me questions about myself, but it's really the thing I know the least about. And I would love if you just asked me questions about... Well, don't ask me questions, because I'm going to probably say, I don't know, because I'm a very honest person. But you could ask me, like, feeling... What do you feel about so-and-so? That's a good question. What do you know about trees or something like that? I could tell you everything I know. I'm good at that. Tell me all about that movie you just saw. Oh, it'll take longer than the movie. I know that doesn't seem possible, but it will. That would be amazing. I feel like that it takes, that there's, well, no, that's a paradox. Never mind. I was going to say it would take more actual information to tell about all the information in the universe than there is information. But that's a paradox, because the telling is also contained in there. And so every time it swells, everything swells. You're not separated from it. Oh, I'm trapped in this, aren't I? I can't take anything out or add anything. That makes me feel helpless. Welcome. Oh, it's not the helplessness that's the problem. It's the failure of your fellow creatures to acknowledge it. That's the problem. I think if we were all just say, oh, what is this? Oh, crazy. I'm helpless. This is crazy. I don't know what's going on. I feel completely lost. And then maybe everybody would be like, oh, I'm relieved. I thought I was the only one. But this constant pretending, and I feel like I'm always late on the newsletter saying what I'm supposed to pretend to be, what's acceptable, what language we're speaking collectively anymore. I lose track. I'll go into my little playroom and I'll have fun. I'll do my art or something. I'll come back out and the language that we all speak has changed and all mean something different when I say cheese than you mean when you say cheese. That's how different kind of cheeses start. Why are there so many? One word can't refer to everything that's made with the curds in this. They taste so different. They still just have that one word. And the more inclusive that word gets, the less it means. So we come up with all these specific words, but they're out of nowhere, aren't they? Who am I? Why am I here? Well, my name, I'm calling myself Hardy White. And the reason I'm doing that is that so my friends have something to yell, either when they're mad at me or I'm about to step into a tar pit. There may still be, I think there still are tar pits. I don't know were tar pits, or the tar pit is a result of the animals falling into a thing, and now it's just all tar? Or was it always tar? I don't know. I've never been to is it just La Brea? Are there other tar pits? Are there tar pits in Georgia that I don't know about? I'm not in Georgia, but I could get there. Do I need to get there? I would go there for something to look at like that. I would go to caverns. I've traveled to other places in the world just to look at their caves because I'm fascinated by them. Aren't you the mysterious? I want to go in there, but I would never tell you I know what's in the cave. Oh, you have all these traditions this time of year. I think it's wonderful. And I try to honor all your traditions by not honoring them or something, or not messing around or not telling you what to do. That's for sure. Oh, my goodness. And you think, well, you know, these all these traditions, and the reason they don't want the mix is everybody thinks they're correct. That's amazing. And I think sometimes their logic is this. All these things can't be right, can they? All these different ways of thinking about the world, they can't be correct. No, they can't all be correct. But they may all be wrong. The correct option may not be before me. Sometimes I feel like I'm taking a multiple choice test. And you're giving me A to D, and I know the answer's E, but E's not there. Or maybe I haven't even thought of E, or nobody has thought of E. Or E is not evident to these eyes. If you swallowed the eyes of your childhood a cuddle toy, and then and you never passed them, let's say. This didn't happen to me. This happened to Lou. We were thinking about this the other day. Is it literally in you then? Is the eyes of, like, can it see your stomach? Or are they still working? Since they were imaginary to begin with. Just using imaginary logic. Because we're calling them eyes and not buttons. Therefore, since we're calling them eyes and not buttons, can they still see? We never said they were human eyes attached by nerves to your brain. It's disgusting. It's a little gross, isn't it? I try not to think about people as being, I try to think of them as being made of something other than steak or whatever it is they're made of, meat. It's horrifying to me. I'm not going to lie to you. I know that, so the human body is beautiful. All creatures are beautiful. They are. And they're equally, to me, repulsive. Don't you think? I mean, we pretend they're not. Unless we want a good laugh. And then we point it out and we all giggle and everything. But generally, they're both beautiful and repulsive at the same time. I love that. I don't mind living in a universe of paradoxes. I think that's consistent with what I feel I don't already know. What? You know what I mean? If this universe is called I Just Don't Know, or it keeps changing or something, that is fine with me. That's what I feel. I've always thought that. Yes, crazy world. Yes, if we all accepted we lived in crazy world, I could accept it more. Thank you. Here's the story that will tell you everything you need to know about everything. It's not true. It's just a recording I made of the... my friends and I who live here, and I think it was a couple holidays ago. I don't even know what holiday, because it's we hang things on trees a lot at different times of year. I don't know why that is. It's just something we do. A lot of times, one of the times the tree was a kind of Duchamp's bottle rack, and Butchie brought it back from the past, and we hung things on that, like sunglasses and I don't know, just little things. And sometimes we do it on trees, but it's never wedded to one particular tradition or something. It's just something we like to do because we like to craft. And what happens is you end up making more little tiny hanging things than you have a need for just once a year. So we thought, what can we do? We want to make little hanging decorative things. We got to do this more than once a year, so we do. But this might be one of our winter ones. I think it might be. I love those. Because there's always something warm around. There's always something that's on fire. Some things are on fire no one's told you. Like there'll be some kind of flaming alcohol drink. But you won't say, oh, you know, the flame is still there. It's just blue and very low. Be careful. So, but that's, it's a warm feeling. You get a warm feeling inside. Imagine if you were a whale, a cartoon whale, and in your belly was living three little sailors. And those little sailors would gather around a cozy little table that they'd have set up in your stomach, your ribs, the rafters of their tiny cottage. And they'd light a little fire there in your stomach. And it would feel like you just had, I don't know, peppers, maybe hot peppers or something. But it's a literal fire, and they warm themselves there, and they drink warm drinks that they made out of your stomach, your digestive fluids. And they're saying, oh, isn't this cider good? But they know it's not cider. It's not cider. It's stomach acid, which would be a great brand of cider, I believe, if you were one of those boutique distilleries or something. So I need a gimmick. Elephants, stomach acid, cider. And they have this cozy scene inside of you. You are the cartoon whale. There is a warm and cozy scene inside of you. That's where it's imagined. Are you visualizing this with me? Yes, Artie. Why not? Why not? And feel content for a moment. But there's other things going on. I know it's cold outside, but the most wonderful feeling, and we experience this as a child if we're lucky, is that we're not thinking about anything other than it's cold outside, but I'm warm in here, or it's storming outside, but I'm safe in here for the moment. I'm not even sure what the future holds. I'm too young to know because I have no evidence. I don't know. I imagine that some of it will be as good as the good part of the past, when I could fall asleep in my little cozy bed with the cold snow or rain or something going on outside. Or one time it was these kind of dark, I don't know, they were really like dark black. They looked like angels or bats or something, like angel bats. And they were swarming and sound like that. But we had just installed that kind of double pane glass that repels demons. It's funny, when it hits it, the demons just, they bead, is what they do. So it's great. It makes you feel secure inside. I hope I have that effect on you. You're affecting me. Am I? Yes. Oh, I hope so. I want to have some sort of effect. I want to be able to lighten your heart. And then when it's light, let's take it up on the roof. You want to take it up on the roof? Yes. You've got me excited now. It's light enough to do it. Before, if your heart was heavy, we'd say, well, let's bring it down in the basement and we can jam. But now we can go up on the roof and look at the stars. And if it's only light in your imagination for a minute, well, that is a beautiful thing. If you can take your mind to all sorts of places. We have that ability now through recordings and the podcasts that are so big. It sounds like I'm saying podcasts. I'm saying pod. But these podcasts, again, it does sound like I'm hitting that D a little hard. Podcasts. I think this is why it is. Because if you have watched any scary movies in the 50s or anything, or from the 50s, I wasn't here. They're pod people. There's things that come out of pods that are gross and bad and evil. So I have trouble that we've used that word now for something that's good, or at the very least, you know, it'll pass the time. But a pod used to be a scary thing. And so now I'm reluctant to use that word. And pot, I can't think of any bad connotations. Something you eat out of. So let's, they say visualize. I say daydream, or use your imagination, or try to vividly hallucinate while you're awake, which is a wonderful thing to do. I wish I could be taught to do that. I believe the yoga studio I went to offered that, this waking. It wasn't lucid dreaming. It was vivid waking hallucinations and how to make a tulpa. I thought, that's exciting. And I did that for a while, and I made a tulpa, I've told you, that looked like Nancy. And the spiky hair, and she didn't speak, and it was menacing. It was terrible. And I said, man, this thing is going on the shelf with that stupid golem I made at the summer camp. Never again will I do that. I'm just going to write Met on its forehead to begin with and save me the time. It was nice to have something that you've made in a craft class out of clay. It wasn't worth it. When the teacher says, do you want me to put that in the kiln? You go, yes, definitely. No, don't say, no, I'm going to take it home and animate it with a soul. I'm going to put some kind of soul. I'm going to say a spell and it's going to come to life and do my bidding, because it never works out that way. All right. The mob on TV and the real mob are two different things. Same with golems. I know in the media they're portrayed as something. Oh, fun. Make a thing out of clay. And it'll be alive and it'll do your bidding and you can use people that you can scare people with it and everything. But no, it ends up just biting you in the butt. Literally, they're butt biters. And you say, well, that doesn't sound terrible. It's clay, hard clay teeth. Man, wake up. Can I get you anything? Because I was going to make cookies. Let's hear what happened when you guys were decorating the tree. All right.
Butchie, can I borrow a soldiering iron?
A soldiering iron? Like a gun?
A soldiering gun would be fine.
Like a rifle?
A rifle?
You can soldier with any kind of weapon.
Weapon? No, I mean a soldiering iron so I can fix the wires on the guitar wall hanging that plays Jingle Bell Rock.
Are you trying to say soldering iron?
Soldering or soldiering. It has an L. A lot of people make that mistake. Like with the word genealogy.
The L is silent.
Genealogy. I stand corrected.
It's a soldering iron. You solder.
Stop pulling my leg, Butchie. I'm not seven. I read a lot. I get that from my great-granddad, who was a colonel in the army.
Tree is looking good.
Hardy, what do you call it when you attach a wire to something with hot metal?
Welding? No, with circuits. Oh, soldering.
Soldiering.
No, there's a silent L.
That's not a thing, is it? Man, I've been saying soldier out loud for years. I thought I knew the world. I thought I knew myself. But I don't.
Anyway, to answer your question, no, you cannot borrow it because I don't want that damn wall hanging fixed, or I wouldn't have ripped the wires out to begin with.
Soldering. Dang. I feel like Nemo Circulus in the No One Being novels.
Who's that, Lou? Oh, brother.
So, Nemo is this guy who lives a modest life, then finds out that he's really alien royalty and has been placed on Earth and had his memories wiped. But then he finds out that that isn't true either, and that he's really the father of the guy he thought he was, and his whole worldview is shattered, his whole sense of identity upended. And then he finds out that none of that was true either. He's really an alien scientist with a kind of office job, and he's volunteered for this identity experiment. And it turns out he's really just a sort of computer with only two components, his memories and his perceived external memoryscape. That is, what you think others remember about you. So really, there is no Nemo Circulus.
I wish you had wires. That sounds like a good book series.
I sort of spoiled all six novels for you there, since that stuff takes a while to figure out.
I personally appreciate you spoiling it. There's a lot of decorations in this box.
With three religious traditions in this house, I'm glad we could all agree to just do Butchie's.
Mine is best. It's the logical choice. What's this ornament, Butch? Oh, that's a viewing gem of some sort. It's like a webcam, but on the other end is an alien on a distant planet.
You can see him?
Sometimes. And he can see us? Yeah, I got it off of H.G. Wells. Some spooky shop owner sold it to him. Hang that one in the back or we'll have no privacy.
It's like the Christmas pickle.
How so, Lou?
The Christmas pickle ornament is a German-American tradition of a pickle-shaped ornament that acts as a vessel for the soul of the dead. So your dead Altacocker gets to share the holiday with you. Altacocker is the German word for grandfather. I remember you telling me that, Butch.
You're a very good pupil. What's this, Butchie? What's it look like?
It's a frozen Charlotte in a pill case with a cotton ball.
You won Christmas Clue.
So it's a homemade ornament we made in religious school, I think. Frozen Charlotte is this female who refused to wrap up warmly during a coach ride because she didn't want to hide her pretty dress, so she froze to death. And by the time she reached the party, was a corpse. So the dead baby figurine became a popular children's toy in the Victorian era. Here, you see it shoved into a pill bottle, the cap of which I spray-painted gold to imply precious value. And the cotton represents clouds on which the dead, haughty child now eternally floats. Shemp jive, everyone.
Shemp jive, Butch.
Shemp jive, Butch. Oh, this is your decoration from last year, Hardy. Tell the story again.
Well, there's nothing to tell. That's just the tag off the hat you got me, and I hung it on the tree as a joke when I took it off the hat.
It's perfect.
I like this one, Knives of the World.
Cool, Butch.
It's knives of all the different cultures. This one's a steak knife from Argentina.
I love that collection of classic band t-shirts you got me one year. I still have the Stanknut shirt.
I love Stanknut.
My grandfather always said, get a concert t-shirt as a young man and wear it all the time and hang on to it for decades. Then, after 40 years, look how thin the material is. That is how thin your skin is now. I think I'd asked him why he bled so easily from scratches or something.
You can literally love something to death. That's why, if you keep rodents as pets, you should not hug them. And that's why I try to love you as little as possible. It's for your own good. Thanks, Butch. I sparingly love you, too.
I had a stuffed animal that I loved so much as a kid, I would chew on it. Eventually, I ate the whole thing over time. So in a way, Lammy is inside of me. Actually, his eyes are, I'm pretty sure.
Hey, your alien view crystal ornament is glowing.
That means the other universe is tuned in.
Hey, Butchie, this is Gorgods again. I'm trying to reach you on viewing crystal. I had you there briefly. Saw your face. Then I guess you were doing something with friends. Then I lost you. So now it just looks like a tangle of wires or something, or needles on a tree or something. So I'm going to go ahead and reboot on this end and try to reach you again, Butchie. This used to happen to me all the time with H.G. Wells. Do we know what happened to him? I used to call him Herbert. A lot of people called him Bertie. I understand some people called him George, even. It's like, which is it? Do you ever have a friend like that called themselves different things at different stages of their lives so that different friends of theirs knew them by different names? Who are they? What an identity question. Right? Are you Herbert? Are you Bert? Which are you? Ernest in the country? So I'm going to go ahead and try to reach you again. I'd love to talk to you. It's been a little while. So let's make this work. All right, I'm going to go ahead and then I'll ring you again.
Oh, let me get this or he'll ring all night. Hello?
Oh, hey, Butch. I've been trying like heck to get you.
Hey, Gorgods.
I had to reboot. Great to see you. I see there's someone there with you.
Yeah, this is Hardy. Hardy Gorgods from Mount Dora.
Hey, Gorgods. Mount Dora?
It's his planet.
Hey, Gorgods, this is Lou.
Oh, my word, look at you.
Okay.
Looks like quite a party you're having there.
It's not a party, really.
It's a holiday.
Look, Gorgods, we're using up too much gemstone time portal data or something.
No, this costs nothing.
What? You froze.
Oh, I can see you fine.
You're frozen on this end. Sorry, goodbye.
Sometimes I feel like we're having a video conversation, and your end froze, and I say, you know what, I'm just going to keep talking. I hope that's okay. Maybe you're there, maybe you're not. I'm just going to keep speaking. Why? Because I have to. My heart wants to speak. My brain wants to speak. I am like a shark. I only live if I move forward. If I sit there, I will drown in some sort of complacency of lack of communication. Why have knowledge that I don't immediately get out? It's like food. I bring things in and I poop it out. I take the nutrients and then I poop out what I don't use. And that's why I feel like communication. My job is to take things in and bring them to you, to add my experience to the collective experience, to download my memories into yours so we can put them all together and maybe get a bigger picture, see something larger. We stick them together. Also, you might feel better if you understand that your experience is actually common or understandable, that you are not different or a freak or anything, that we all have these fears that we cannot admit readily just in doctors' waiting rooms or in the seat next to us in an airplane. So we have to do it in a controlled area, like art or something. Because if I sat next to you on a plane and went, man, life is difficult. Oh, I just won't be your friend. Oh, good gosh, you'd be smart to run off. And then if I started telling you all the things that plague my heart and make me wonder if I know what's going on at all, they all have to be said in a special way, almost in secret, like we have a secret club and a secret clubhouse. In the middle of the night, when you're feeling bad, if you feel trapped in that house, you go out the window. Not literally. Don't do this literally. Go out the window. And you sneak into somebody else's yard, your buddy's yard. And you have a secret clubhouse there, which is actually an old fallout shelter that your friend's parents don't even know they still have. And you go down in there. And you've made it up into one of your favorite places. It looks great. You know what it does? It smells like those shops that sell a lot of incense. I know it's not. It's a nice smell, though. Right? It smells a little like that, but also sometimes people are cooking something, baking some kind of cinnamon cookie, if that's what you like, or a vanilla wafer cookie. And your friends are there, and there's fun art on the walls, and we have a little meeting. It's not really a meeting. We just get together and have fun, and toast each other with our favorite fruit-based beverage. Sometimes a hot fruit-based beverages. And sometimes, I don't know, it's, you can stick something in it if you want. I'm not judging. It's not that kind of club. But we all have a place to be. And it's safe, and it's great. And it's away from those who judge us. It's away from those who would tell us that our memories are not enough to make us who we are. That you have to add their memories of you, which you know are unreliable. Oh, I like it here in our club. What do you want to do? We have anything. It's imaginary, so there's anything is available. All kinds of ingredients. Because I can really put a damper on things when you want. So I'm going to go make my special cookies. I wonder if they have amaranth at the co-op. They must. Of course they do. And you go there and it's not there. And you end up going to three different shops looking for amaranth. And you go, well, I can't make Granny's amaranth cookies if we don't have it. Now the night is ruined. Now it's midnight and we don't have any. And then one of us says, I have a time machine. And I go, man, it's not yours, okay? It's not yours to use like that. We could go back in time, plant some seeds, and the harvest will be ready. Amaranth is kind of, I know it's kind of like a weed, but it's hard to get those little seeds and everything. Can't we let somebody else do that? Can't we just go back in time to a point at which the co-op had it? Because I know they did. Because I got it there a bunch. Oh, I'm sorry. I get worked up. Sometimes the holidays do the opposite of what they're supposed to be. It's supposed to, you know, be a relaxing time, and I just let things, I want things to be perfect and right and beautiful, and so I get myself all worked up when I shouldn't. And now I should just relax and tell you a story. What kind of story are you going to tell? About people being together, I hope. Like that, with animals in it? Are there animals in it? Yes. Well, there's an uncle who thinks he's a bear. Yes? What kind of bear? What's a Kodiak? What's the really tall ones that you see in the books? And they're twice the size of the other ones. And you say, what's it? Like Kodiak or something? Scary, scary tall ones. The kinds you see stuffed in a hotel in the Northwest in which you would never then go because of that. Say, I don't want to stay here if they have something like that, like a carcass of a of a dead creature. Maybe I don't want to stay here. Now, if the carcass of the dead creature was staying here, if it was his choice, say, hey, I like to be here. A lot of stuffed animals are here. Really? Yes. This is a hotel owned by taxidermy. And they run it. So you go up to the desk, and there is a deer with just kind of a frozen blank expression on its face. And you tell it you have a reservation, and it just quietly stares back at you. And then you think, hey, maybe we have the run of the whole hotel. This is fun. So we go up to the rooms that are normally conference rooms, and we pretend to have our conference. Hello, I'd like to thank everybody for coming. If you are here, it demonstrates the fact that you are a doer. Do you remember the old doer's profile? That there's a liquor company called Doers, D-E-W-A-R-S, and they would have a little ad in the magazines that say, doer's profile. Now, it took me decades to get this pun, because they were saying that people that drink their liquor are also D-O-E-R-S. D-O-E. People who do things. Movers and shakers. And you can also put the liquor in that shaker and pour yourself a drink of success. And that's what you've done today by coming to this conference. You are a doers. Shaken, never stirred. The only way you're stirred is out of complacency to do something, to make something of your life. You are a doer, and you sit here today because you want to learn something to expand your world. You have thought, who am I? And then you saw our ad, whether it be one of the magazines or on a poster outside of the hotel or written on one or pinned to one of the taxidermy that owns the place. And you said, I'm going to go into that conference, and I think I'm going to learn something, or maybe be forced to buy a timeshare I don't need. That could be part of it. This could be a real estate scheme. This could be a cult. Now, that never used to be a bad word. Back in the day, if you were a Roman emperor, you'd be running the cult. The cult is a good cult meant good thing that we go to on, I don't know, it was Sundays. But you came here today and showed up and are sitting in. Now, is every one of those seats full? No. Is that because this conference is a failure? No. It's because it is not common to walk outside, go to the hotel, look at a conference for a thing you're not even sure what it is, pay money to hear someone say something that you're not even sure is valuable. Is that common? No. But also, look, no competition. When I tell you the secret to opportunity, which could very much be like telling you the location of a leprechaun's gold, you're not going to have 10 other people rushing towards it like this was a mad, 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 mad world. So when I say, under the big W, you'll be going there by yourself, maybe. Why? Because you're a cut above the rest. You are top shelf. You are top drawer. You are smarter and better than someone who is not here. Is that true? No, I'm just flattering you. No. It is by chance that you are here at this sales pitch. I'm not going to lie to you. It is a sales pitch. I'm just not going to tell you what it's for, ever. I'm just going to convince you to get on board with the team, to get with the program. And you're going to leave here and you say, what is the program? I'm still not going to tell you. Is there more things I have to buy? No, there never was. You'll notice I never took your money. Now I'm handing it back, but I'm not. You're going to go home and you say, where do I start? That's exactly what I felt before I came here. What has this guy even told me that I didn't know before? Nothing. But now you know that, and that is an additional thing. And now you can start, because I just told you to. I want to do this thing. People say life is too short not to, but I'm scared. What are you scared of? I'm scared of failing. Failing what? This thing I wanted to do. Do you know what? I don't even care anymore. Just stop talking about it. No, that's not true. I don't know. Maybe you don't either. Who told you to do this thing? First of all, I'd question it for a while. There's two ways to go when you want it, when you have a drive to do a thing. Do the thing, do not do the thing, or just whine about not doing the thing for years and years. There's all three are valid. Don't let anybody tell you you can't complain. You complain all you want. And you can complain about this. I was not told this was a conference in a hotel. I thought I was just listening to a radio show. I didn't think that somebody was going to get up to the front of the room. I thought we were all going to sit here in the chairs and listen to a radio show that was on. And now I feel like I've been old switcheroo. Bait and switch is different. Bait and switcheroo. Has that ever happened to you? There's a place called Switch and Bait, but that was something different. They had sticks and shrimp. And that was all by the beach. I remember he said, what are the sticks for? He said, we hit, like if you need to hit somebody. I don't want to do that. Do you have something that isn't a switch? We have bait. I could just eat that. That's what I thought about bait. I go, what should I do? Should I just eat the shrimp or use the shrimp to catch a fish? Depends what you want. I don't really want to eat either one. But it's nice to fish. I just don't want to catch anything. What's another thing you could do? I don't know. Go gather. What's better than fishing? You don't want to hurt anything. I guess just chopping down trees indiscriminately would be better than fishing. No, that's probably not good either. I don't know. When I go out in the woods, golf? I don't golf. Thank you. I just go for walks sometimes. I try to remember things, try to have experiences. And if you just adjust your senses, I stopped eating sugar for a while. And when I stopped eating sugar, foods that weren't particularly sweet eventually became very sweet tasting to me. Now, this happens in the forest. I notice that my senses, when they're readjusted, are more sensitive. And you can even see the sense in the sensitive. You can see the word origin there, sense and sensitive. So I realized that I was becoming inured to a lot of experience. I was becoming calloused, like the thing that was on the bottom of my foot, and then the callus was growing over it, over the foot growth that I had. Did I tell you about this? No, I should not. I should not. Bless you. You don't want to know about that. I don't want to know about all your troubles. No. Suffice it to say, I have had them, do have them, and will have them, probably, in the future. We all do. It is the fate of all human beings. It is the fate of all creatures. They are born, they live, and they die. And the time in there is very flexible. Could be minutes, years, who knows? And the things that happen in there, oh, all sorts of, it's variety of things. Now I have learned about some of them very bad, some of them very good. And so I know sort of what you've gone through, my friend. And I know what you're feeling, sort of, a little bit. Unless it's really super horrible, maybe. I still understand, I think. You know. So I just want to let you know there's another heart sitting next to you in this fallout shelter. That's really a clubhouse. That's really the conference room in a hotel. Run by animals that are long dead and whose souls have long journeyed to faraway places, to other universes, to other planets, where lonely people gaze into gems, into crystal globes, hoping to speak with someone far away on another planet to find a connection in this vast, cold universe to come together for some reason and to create some warmth. The way we do when that wonderful chemical reaction takes place on this planet. A chemical reaction we call fire. Am I right? Is it fire? There's a couple other chemicals that, so I was going to say something about salt, but I think I'm talking about fire. That would tie it in nicely to the beginning. Let's say it's fire. That makes it go into the... Oh, hang on. I forgot there's a modern one. They call them disposable, because modern now means trivial and throwaway. Disposable, you don't have to keep it anymore. These, you used to occasionally have to fill them with fuel and put a flint in there, and then you'd have to get them engraved that says, you know, to my loving partner who will ironically perish from using this. Where is it made? Pennsylvania. Somewhere Pennsylvania. I'm trying to read the bottom of it. Bradford, PA? Is that a place? That's where I live, Hardy. Is it really? You're listening there? Yes. We make some bows. That's fantastic. I didn't want to say the brand. I actually just, what do you call it? It fell out of my mouth. My grandmother's diary references sending one of these lighters into the company because that's something my grandfather bought one, was unhappy, and sent it in to be repaired, as like it was a Rolex or something. They probably were like, okay, we'll do it. I think they fixed it and sent it back. And he was like, from now on, I'm a Zippo man. Because it's that kind of, you get loyalty like that. You say, well, somebody did something nice for me, so they will forever be my dry cleaner. Even though they could be, I feel I'm that way with the Stalin dry cleaning up here. They go, really? The Stalin family runs it? It's not the original bad Stalin. It's a cousin. And yes, they do share some values, but they get my clothes clean. No, it's not called that. If you have a historically unfortunate name, it's okay to change it. You are who you say you are. You can change your name all you want. I'm fine with that. You just tell me your new one. I love you. I love you. You can change your heart. You could change who you are inside, too. That doesn't have to be consistent. It's not just names. I mean, don't feel you have to be consistent. I feel like a different person all the time. Well, that wasn't me. Especially if you're like, oh, I just, you know, literally wasn't me. Just came off a pretty severe substance abuse problem. That is totally understandable. You know, as it is, I'm not a big believer in free will. So I certainly understand having your brain giving you a different reality. And my gosh, we have to live with that. Like we've been filmed, like our life is this is your life. There used to be a show on TV. I'll tell you why this was probably the worst thing ever there ever was in the beginning of the downfall of humanity. And they would choose a celebrity and bring them on, unbeknownst to them, and interview people from their, quote, past. Do I need another quote? No, because they know. And these people would come on and they would interview. They'd sit the celebrity out there and they'd say, do you remember this voice?
Oh, I remember when he was in he wet himself in the class one time and had to get new trousers because he was so always urinating himself. I remember he smelled like urine.
Well, that's your second grade teacher. Oh, fantastic. And they would, you know, trot out these people. And never your cousins or anything. Just some, I don't even remember you. Oh, yes, I remember I tormented you in high school. I'm over it, but it's nice to see you again. And that was This Is Your Life. And it was supposed to tell you something about that celebrity before they became somebody. Do you understand? Before they were somebody, they were nobody. These are the people that remembered them when they were nobody. This is your life. Your life is this wonderful arc from complete obscure meaninglessness to ultimate purpose. Which is what? Being on Gunsmoke. Now you're somebody. This is your life. And you'd have to watch that. And it ate into your soul like something caustic. I said, oh, I'm getting clean because I'm using lye soap. And it slowly ate away the thing that it was supposed to be cleaning. And your brain became used to this idea. This is your life. All these people's memories are you. You are what the show says you are. Oh, no. I will never tell you this is your life. It's your life. That's the whole catch. It's not mine. It's your life. And these people can't tell you what it is or what it was because they observed a tiny part of it. That's not it. When they interview people's neighbors, yeah, and see, I remember that family because they was coming and going. And we would be sitting outside. I like to go outside every once in a while to see outside. And I remember looking over there and they'd be coming and going. A lot of times they'd pull up in a car and one of them get out and go in the house. Then time would pass. I'd see sometimes the same one get out of the house, get back in the car, go off somewhere. Always there. And that's what I remember about them. I made a note. I'd been telling my wife. I'd say, they're coming and going again. And she says, which one? I go, whatever. Which one doesn't? They're gone. One of them will take off in the morning, come back at night. And there's two cars over there, too. Sometimes they're all there at the same time. Sometimes they're all gone at the same time. There's no rhyme or reason to it. There's a pattern I noticed. Is that you? Is that you? Is that you? You're not that person, I hope. No, nosy. My great-grandmother was kind of nosy, though. I think that's the daughter. All right, I don't really want to know. Nowadays, maybe we should send out a newsletter or something. That'd be nice. I wish my great-grandmother had a newsletter I could read online and she was still watching people like that. You know, her column. You know, what's going on over there would be the column. She'd be like, I'd see the daughter was there for the weekend and then gone again, I assume. I don't know. When she's there, she's an odd one. That'd be a great thing to read. I'd love it. Yeah, that's her world. I wonder how they saw her. Old crazy. Don't go out the crazy old nosy lady. Yeah, I guess that's her. I still loved her. Why? Because she loved me. It's like an infinity mirror. Love is sometimes. Bounces around in there. You end up loved or attached to some person because they're loving attached to you and you don't really remember how it happened. Sometimes it's wonderful. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes you get trapped and you go, oh, well, I care about somebody. What is this care cycle? This feedback loop of love. It is a trap. It can be a wonderful, blissful trap, the love feedback loop, or it could be like, oh, I really literally don't remember how this mutual caring started, but now it's deafening. Oh, I hope that you know that you can just cut the volume off here and we'll be fine. You can cut your volume or my volume and you won't have to over care about me. Oh, my friends, I'm so glad to have spent this time together. Another hour. My goodness, you could get eyeglasses made or dry cleaning done. I know that because both of those time frames are touted on signs at those businesses. 1 hour for your get your prescription filled for your eyeglasses and another one to do your dry cleaning. If you could make it the same hour, imagine how productive you'd be. My friends, you are listening to Miracle Nutrition, WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in New York City, New York, and Rockland County, New York, and online worldwide at WFMU.org. Oh, I'm so glad that you're my friend, and I hope to see you again next week.